Welcome to Life and Faith. Hi, this is Justine Toe from the Centre for Public Christianity, or CPX for short. I'm glad to welcome back to the studio Mick Martin, a minister of a church community known as the Upper Room in North Sydney. How are you going, Mick?
Well, Justine, good to be back.
We've been discussing the idea of the good life and how we would much rather talk about that, the good life, rather than the experience of suffering. Now, before we resume our conversation, let's take a short detour and invite Hugh Clark into the conversation. Now, Hugh is our multimedia producer here at CPX, which means he does the filming for our interviews as well as the recording and the editing of these segments. Now, Hugh's also a keen rider and he often cycles to and from work, but a couple of weeks ago, he had an accident on his bike and it's made him rethink a lot of the things about life and faith that are really relevant to what we're discussing today. So, Hugh, it's good to see you.
It's good to be here, that's for sure.
Now, firstly, you're talking to us, so this is a good sign that you're on the mend because, but since you have, and I quote you directly, a face for radio at the moment, what kind of shape were you in a couple of weeks ago?
Well, not a good shape, that's for sure. I was actually injured and in hospital, and the reaction that I got from people before I looked at myself in the mirror gave me a hint that I was really messed up.
How did you get messed up? You know, what happened to make you that way?
I was cycling home as I normally do on a Friday night and went over a gutter in my bike. I was going down a hill quite fast and my bike wheel was insecure and came off basically. So my front wheel came off as I went over the gutter. So I ended up planting my forks of my bike into the asphalt in a zebra crossing. And my face then hit the ground pretty hard and fast after that. And I was concussed and ended up in hospital.
So that sounds pretty awful, actually. And your face took the brunt of the impact.
Yeah, it did. I've sort of fractured nose. I had several stitches throughout my lips and eye and between my eyes and some deep grazes all over my face. So basically my face hit the ground and became my brake and was concussed and, you know, heavily messy and bloody and terrible. But I actually was knocked out, so I don't have a memory of the accident, only, you know, just before the accident happened. And I ended up, waking up in the hospital.
Yeah, I remember seeing the photo of your face on Facebook and I actually didn't believe it was you. I thought you'd been playing on Photoshop and were having a bit of a practical joke, so I'm sorry for thinking that. What's the recovery process been like for you?
Well, it's been good. It's been difficult to come to terms with such a violent accident happen against me, and nothing that I could sort of see that I had fault in doing or someone actually doing against me. It was just such a random accident. But the recovery has been good, really good, remarkably good. My face has cleared up really well. The scarring has cleared up well. I just had an all clear yesterday from the hospital saying that I don't need to, you know, re-brake or straighten my nose. So I'm breathing through my nose now. And, I've got a bit of stiffness in my neck and swelling around my gums. But remarkably, I had no damage. They did all scans and tests on the night that I was in hospital and there was no damage to my brain or my neck or my back or my teeth or my sinuses. So, you know, compared to the amount of things that could have gone wrong and all the stories I've heard since of people having similar injuries and far worse results, I'm very, very thankful.
I can imagine, though, lying in the hospital bed, you know, what kinds of questions are going through your mind you're a Christian. How's your faith challenged or reaffirmed in moments like this?
Well, I guess that's the thing in the context of talking about difficult situations. It was weird coming to terms with the situation. I just had to actually, you know, one minute my wife and kids were all waiting for me to go home. They had pizza ready, had a great week, had a fantastic weekend coming up, and I'm looking forward to that. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in hospital and my wife's there and one of my best friends is there supporting her, and they're injecting my lip and stitching my lip together. So it was really hard to come to terms with that. But what I found, though, just in the experience of the moment, what I found was overwhelming kindness and overwhelming care and love and support. And that was the whole experience of waking up to this experience that I've been thrust into, that there was kindness there, there was love there, there was, you know, even putting the photo on Facebook, which I did, you know, the following day, I had overwhelming amount of people that contacted me, said they're praying for me and I hope I recover well. And then, you know, my immediate family, of course, once they knew that I was okay, just, you know, gave a great deal of support and love. And I had my Christian community praying for me on various levels and ways. And so, you know, in a way it gave me a snapshot of my life, you know, in a way that it gave a measure that I'm loved, that people care about me. And that was, you know, quite affirming, I must say.
Yeah, yeah, it gives you some perspective, yeah, in that sense. Now, I hear time and time again that people say that they grew in the hard times more than they believe they would have if their life just, you know, went along merrily and nothing bad happened. Does that resonate with your experience?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I think the thing that it strikes to mind is we've been watching a bit of the Paralympics, you know, and hearing and seeing the incredible effort of those challenged athletes that have overcome physical disabilities in various ways, overcome immense obstacles to achieve, you know, great things and pursue sporting and doing the best that they can. And their spirit and their enthusiasm for life sort of shines through. There's a sort of a real richness in their stories, I find. And so, you know, I certainly think It is a test when you go through difficult times. And, you know, I was feeling really quite fit and healthy before the accident happened. I just actually ironically signed up to do this mega challenge, the Tough Mudder.
Oh, the Tough Mudder, yes.
Yeah. I just confirmed that afternoon that I was going to partake in it with some friends that invited me to do this sort of 19K super sort of macho sort of endurance test. And here I am sidelined. The wheels literally fell off my life and I ended up in hospital totally dependent on everyone else. Mm. And in that, you know, felt totally needy, totally vulnerable, but also held and supported. And so, you know, that in a way was a sign and an affirmation of God and His provision and His presence and His way of supporting me through others and even just, you know, in a sort of peaceful way, I knew He was there with me in the middle of it.
Yeah. Now, Mick, I'm sure, you know, you've been listening with rapt attention to Hugh talk. What's kind of chiming with you as you hear him describe that experience?
That sounds horrific for a start. but also, you know, great to see you on the mend, I must say. It's one of those experiences, isn't it, that comes out of left field. And you know, to try and make sense of that in any kind of theological way or whatever, you know, did God cause your bike wheel to come off? You know, was it His will that you went through this so that you could learn how affirmed you are and how much love people? Yeah, no, I don't think so. So I think there's two extremes that we can take in relation to difficulties and hard times and accidents and things like that. You know, one extreme is, well, you know, God did that to teach you some deep life lesson, you know, and I think that's wrong. The other extreme kind of says, well, that was obviously something other than God, you know, and God has nothing to do with that at all, you know. And I think both those two extreme views are wrong. I think the reality is that God is, it's in Him that we live and move and have our being, it says in the book of Acts. And I think, you know, that's everything. You know, that's the totality of life. So when something random and unexpected and just, you know, arbitrary happens, like the front wheel coming off your bike as you hit a curb, that God is just there. God is present in that. And it's not about outcomes. You know, it's not about whether you're, you know, at one level you can say, well, my teeth didn't get smashed. That's miraculous, you know. And there'd be people who would think that way. But, well, it just happened that your teeth didn't get smashed, you know, because if it was miraculous for your teeth not to get smashed, then your nose wouldn't have broken either. You know, like it's very selective, and I think we can be a bit selective in terms of how we interpret things. But the real truth in that situation is, as you were saying, Hugh, is that people were all over you, you know, and you felt loved and you felt cared for and you were, and even, you know, by the people in the professionals in the hospital and everything, God is present in all of that. You know, we see something of God in people caring for one another and feeling for each other and grieving with each other, and all the stuff that we heard in some of the people that we spoke to last week, and the people on the street and their responses when I'm going through difficult times, it's having family and people around me, that God is in that stuff, that God is present in that and working through that. So I think that, that would be my kind of response to what you're saying, Hugh, is that here is a picture, just one of millions that we could pick, of a situation where things didn't go according to plan. You had your weekend all mapped out and all sorts of things on the horizon, and then suddenly in an instant that all changes. But God's there in that, not as the author of it, but as the person who sustains you through that.
Yeah, I think that perhaps moments of suffering and times of hardship are when you can really feel that love in a way that, when you're right. successful, you don't really feel it in the same way, right?
Well, and Hugh is a case in point, because you became acutely aware of how loved you were and the support of all the friends and so on. And had you just ridden home normally and had your pizza that night and had a good weekend, you'd have still felt the love of people, but not in that acute, heightened kind of way where it was really brought to your attention just how much people really do care.
Yeah.
I often think it's kind of sad that we don't get to attend our own funerals, because you go to a funeral and it's like all the stuff that people feel about this person is pouring out, and they would never have heard the half of that. I think we should, if we have the luxury of knowing we're about to die, we should have our funeral in advance.
Some people actually opt to do that, I think.
Yeah.
But last time we were talking about how you did this search of the titles of a Christian bookstore under the category of Christian living, and you found that success appeared in something like 240 titles, whereas suffering numbered at about, 98.
Yeah.
So obviously we'd rather read about success rather than suffering. But, how would you say that suffering and hardship actually helps people to grow and to mature?
Yeah, well, I think it goes back to some of the things we talked about last week around the self-orientation of our lives, and how the whole concept of a good life becomes a very self-referential kind of life and self-absorbed. And I think all of that, the book title, contrast between suffering and success, is a reflection of that as well, that we are very self-absorbed by nature. And that's inevitable in a sense, because I can only experience the world from within the centre of myself. But real maturity, I think, as a person, and real growth, like personal growth, really happens when we learn to let go of ourselves and to see ourselves as part of something much bigger, and to see our lives as being caught up in something that goes beyond ourselves, and then to become, in a sense, servants of that, that we actually live, not just live for others, but live for something beyond ourselves. And I think that's what people experience in those kinds of situations, where they are reliant on other people and they think, wow, these people are doing all this stuff for me. And we're not comfortable with it, because it's like, I need to be self-reliant, I need to be independent, but there's actually something wonderful in any experience that involves mutuality and involves a dependence on each other and interdependence and giving and generosity. And people feel good when they step into that kind of stuff, because it actually, I think, it goes more to the core of what it means to be human than all this stuff about self and me and my success and,
Yeah, so we're social animals rather than made to just be alone.
Totally. Exactly. And from a Christian perspective, we have a belief in God as a trinity, as three persons in this one being. And sometimes people talk up the mystery of that, and there's an element of mystery in it, but I think it's, in some ways, it seems more mysterious than it is, because we approach life with very much an individualistic mindset, and so how can three people be one person, because I only have a sense of individual, and then a collective is when individuals come together. But if we flip that around, it's actually community is primary and individual is derivative, so that actually what's natural, what's actually intrinsic to being human and created in the image of God, as we believe in Christian faith, is actually a mutuality rather than an individuality, And so we see Father, Son, and Spirit. That's the image in which we're created. Three persons are so intertwined with each other and so relational and giving of each other, and there's no sense of competition in that. There's no sense of me versus you. There's no sense of even no sense of other. Even, you know, that within the Godhead is this oneness, and I think that's meant to be what it's like to be human.